You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. As I mentioned in the previous segment, Matt, rookie minicamp kicked off today. We got our first opportunity to talk to, well, not our first opportunity. They were in the facility. Everybody I was in the facility. Everybody was there. I got to see them on the practice field.
There were footballs involved.
There were footballs there. Yeah. They didn't often throw the football. It was weird. Like when they were going through some of the It was more like a walkthrough than it was an actual practice.
Okay. Probably taking it from the board to the field for the first time.
Seeing who could do what and who learns quickly. That's kind of how that worked. But we had an opportunity to chat with Pat Freiermuth today after practice.
Cool.
So I did want to play that back. And we'll do this with a couple different guys just to hear what their reaction was to the practices. So here's what Pat Freiermuth had to say about practice today.
Okay, Pat. I wanted to ask you about the nickname Baby Gronk. I saw that Penn State gave that to you. How did that come about, and how do you feel about it?
I guess it came about just because I'm from that area, War 87. Obviously, growing up, played for the Patriots for a long time, grew up kind of watching them. I hate it because, I think it's, pretty annoying that I'm being called, Baby Gronk. But, I'm trying to get rid of away that from that nickname. So I don't want to be called that.
Jerry Dulac,
Post-Gazette. Hey, Pat, just talk a little bit about both your ability to catch the ball and block, being a kind of a two-dimensional tight end. And Steve Jones told me you never dropped a pass in the red zone while you were at Penn State. Can you confirm that? Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Never dropped a pass in the red zone. That's where, plays, are there for the taking. And, you get very limited opportunities down there. So, when I got my number called and everything like that, I wanted to make the most of it. So, the red zone is time to lock in and score some points and, get touchdowns.
Go ahead.
No,
sorry. Jeff Hawthorne, 93.7.
And how much have you been able to look at the offense? How do you, just overall, how do you feel about your fit here?
I love my fit. I think, it's perfect. I'm very happy that I'm here in Pittsburgh and, the offense is awesome. I think it's very, complex, and I think it's going to utilize the talent that we have on this roster. And from the first walkthrough today, felt great. Felt like I understand most that's going on.
Chris Adamski, Trib.
I've seen Coach Tomlin and even some of the assistants come up to the tight ends right away and want to see them on the sled block. I don't know, rookie camp, you probably can't do sleds and stuff like that, but. Did you, just from the pre-draft process, is it true the Steelers?
We can't understand you either. Your audio is doing something really weird. If you want to just text me your question, I can ask it to him. That seemed to work with Triv.
Okay.
Okay. Will Graves, Associated Press.
Pat, I'm just curious, what were your impressions of seeing Najee out there and sort of what are the prospects of, maybe you got a chance to meet him and maybe your other fellow rookies at all, and sort of what's the vibe that you guys are trying to get here?
Yeah, I mean, Najee's impressive, obviously. He's a hell of a running back, and, through walkthrough today, he makes very good cuts, and he's very smart with the football, and, he's a really good guy. Same, I've kind of connected with him and Kendrick. Kendrick's a really good guy, too, and he's very big and built, and he's just, they're both of them are very, very good guys.
Aditi Kinkabala, NFL Network.
Hey, Pat, you mentioned the offense earlier and you said already you really like it. Well, for all of us, this is a new offensive coordinator, so we're really not familiar with what's going on. Can you tell us what about it do you like? What appeals to you? What has you feeling like, okay, this is going to be something that can really run all over the league with?
Yeah, it's complex, but it's simple in the same way. I think, Coach Canada puts, guys in the field where they can create mismatches. And, I think he does a good job just kind of understanding and kind of, figuring out what the defense weaknesses are. And I kind of can see that with the looks that he gave out there for the look team today and just kind of what he's put together, in camp so far. So You know, I really like the offense, and I enjoy being in it so far.
And since Thomas left me open, thank you, Thomas. Pat, one more. What sort of interaction have you had with Ben Roethlisberger so far?
Yeah, so he actually called me, you know, the day after I got drafted. He reached out, and he's an awesome guy. He's taking us, me and Najee and Kendrick, out to dinner tomorrow night. He texted back and forth a couple of times with us, and my locker's actually next to him. So, it's pretty cool just, you know, seeing him. When I was a young kid, you know, being in the NFL and look, oh, that's Ben Roethlisberger. Now my locker's right next to him, so it's pretty cool and definitely surreal.
Thanks. All right, Mike Prezuta, DVE.
Pat, your willingness to block is pretty well documented. You've been described as a guy, though, who is better physically with the ball in your hands than you are actually blocking. Would you agree with that? And how do you get that blocking part up to speed along with your receiving part?
Yeah, you know, I think blocking is definitely something that you can, you know, you always can get better at. That's definitely something I need to get better at. You know, I think I was a very adequate blocker in college, and, you know, I was able to get the job done when I needed to. But, you know, here, you know, I just want to bring back kind of the mentality I had my freshman year, just kind of, you know, go in there and block them as hard as I can, and, you know, make some plays in the run game. And, you know, the plays in the pass game are going to come, and I'm not going to push for that. But, you know, I'm here to, you know, make an impact blocking right away. So, you know, that's what I'm going to pride myself on.
This is from Chris Adansky, Trib, and kind of a good follow-up to that. Did you feel as if the Steelers emphasized blocking more from tight ends in the pre-draft process as opposed to other teams? And in your time interacting with the team early, have they emphasized it more than blocking techniques with you?
I wouldn't really say they kind of hammered it a lot, you know, in the pre-draft process. It was more kind of get to know me. But, you know, being out here in the past couple of days and out on the field today, you know, they definitely, want a tight end that can, you know, go out there and block and make a difference. And so, you know, they definitely emphasize that with me, and, you know, I'm ready for the challenge.
All right, last three questions. Dan Lally, UK.
Pat, as Aditi mentioned, we're learning what the Matt Canada offense might look like as well. Did you notice a lot of pre-snap motion in the playbook, and how much of that did you do at Penn State?
There's a decent amount. Just from the first install that we did, there's a decent amount. I did a not really pre-snap motion at Penn State. You know, I kind of, you know, sometimes would motion in depending on a look or something like that. But, you know, we were kind of at Penn State, kind of get set and roll with the play we had. So I'm going to get some, you know, adjusting to, but, you know, I felt good doing it today.
Tim Benstrom.
This is a bit of a follow-up to what Jerry was talking about with the red zone, but correct me if I'm wrong. When you joined us after you got drafted, you said something to the effect that your freshman year, you did a lot of red zone stuff while Gesicki was with you as well, correct? Like, you guys would come out together in the red zone, you get a lot of targets there?
Yeah, well, Mike was actually left before I got there.
Oh, Michael left before. Your freshman year, so you got a lot of red zone targets, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Is that something that we could see a lot of with you and Ebron together?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, I think, you know, Ebron's, you know, he's an awesome guy, and, you know, he's a hell of a football player. So I'm excited to learn from him and, you know, kind of see what, you know, his task for us in 12 personnel is to what we do and what we're asked to do. And I'm excited to see, you know, that stuff.
All right. And last question from Nick Farabaugh, Pittsburgh Sports Now.
Hey, Pat. We talked a lot about your blocking, but I want to know more about your comfort level as a receiver. Obviously, you played a lot of H-back, a little bit of F at Penn State. Do you kind of feel comfortable working outside? Because Matt Canada in the past has worked his tight ends all the way to the boundary as an X, as a Z. Do you think you can do that all the way from that to a Y on the interior to an H-back?
Yeah, I think, you know, I can do it all. I think that's, you know, kind of, you know, that kind of prospect I was. So just kind of, you know, making sure that, you know, I'm very versatile and, you know, can do it all in the field and whatever's asked, you know, line up in that fullback position or, you know, split up to that extra Z receiver. So, you know, I'm ready to do whatever they ask me to do. And I'm just excited to, you know, see, you know, my progression in this offense.
That was new Steelers tight end Pat Freiermuth with the media after today's practice over at Heinz, not at Heinz Field, at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. Had a chance to talk to him. We also had a chance to talk to Kendrick Green, the Steelers' new center. And, interesting. He was also asked about the offense. You're getting a chance to talk to two of the guys learning the new offense.
Yeah. They don't know what to compare it to from last year, but still.
They can give you some insight.
They give you some stuff. Right?
Yeah. So here's what Kendrick Green had to say as well.
There was a video of you doing Nordic curl just before your pro day. Why was it so important for you to set a goal to do one during your training with Duke Mannyweather? And how does that toughness in training translate to your play on the field?
So it was something we were doing it during a workout one day, just in the pre-draft process down with Duke. And I got really close to going all the way down and coming back up, but couldn't quite get in. Each week I kind of just progressed, and like I would always try and get one rep, you know. But that one week I finally got it, and but yeah, it just showed, you know, stacking what you do when you stack weeks and weeks on the work on top of one another. So you know, I try to implement that into my game as well. You know, stacking days, each day get better and better until you know you finally get the breakthrough.
Dale Lally, DK.
Yeah, Kendrick, I was talking with James Kirkland from Illinois earlier this week, and he said that when you got on campus, he was telling you, hey, man, you need to be an offensive lineman. He saw you play offensive line in high school. Can you run us through just how that whole all went for you? Again, just when you made the decision to go to offensive line from defensive line and how that whole process, because you did it quickly in 3 months. You went from being a defensive lineman to being in the starting lineup.
Kirkland always used to, you know, get on me about, and you'd be way better on the O-line. I wasn't trying to hear, you know, being young. But eventually, you know, the way our roster and our team started shaping guys leaving the program, and you know what I mean, we get more defensive tackles. I'm like, you know, let me try and make this switch. And I did that, and it did work out for the best.
Will Graves, Associated Press.
Hey, man, it's hard not to notice that jersey number you're wearing today. I'm sort of curious, did you have any say in that, or did they just sort of hand it to you? And is it intimidating to wear a number of a guy who obviously excelled at that position that you now ostensibly are trying to fill in it?
Yeah. No, they didn't hand it to me. I kind of, I wore 53 since high school, you know, obviously at Illinois I wore it as well. And so I kind of requested it, and knowing that he had retired, you know, I feel like maybe they could get it. I was fully prepared for them, you know, to keep it off, but they let me have it and try. I got big shoes to fill, so I'm gonna work towards that.
Let's try Jerry Dulac, Post Gazette.
Hey, Kendrick, what is the biggest change or maybe difficulty of playing guard, or playing center rather than guard? Is it physical or is it mental because of maybe all the calls and everything you'll have to make? What's the biggest difference between the two?
I'm real comfortable at both. Obviously, like you said, at center is a little bit over mental side of the game, but I'm fully prepared to swing that as well. So, but yeah, I would definitely say the mental part is a little different.
What is the physical challenge, Kendrick?
Really not too much, man. You know, it's all the same, playing physical, playing aggressive, and coming off the ball hard.
Aditi King-Babala, NFL Network.
Hey, Kendrick. Welcome to Pittsburgh. And I am going to ask you two, if that's okay. One, have you been told anything at all about the expectation that you'll be the starting center, or what are your thoughts about that? And then number two, have you even had any sort of look at the playbook yet or any conversation with your fellow linemen?
To answer your second question, yeah, we have been kind of, you know, digging into the playbook and even a little bit today, but, you know, just trying to get the hang of that. But as far as role on the team, just showing up every day, you know, if I get the spot, I don't, but I'm ready to come in and compete, you know, and you know, also learn from the older guys.
All right. This is from Mike Prizzuto, DVE, just because his audio was cutting out. So, like, in your experience in college, how much zone did you run and how much was QB under center?
Under center, unless we were running a quarterback sneak, we were never under center. But, and then as far as we were a big inside zone, outside zone team, so that's something that I'm really used to.
All right, we have four questions left. Jim Wexel, Steelers Digest.
Kendrick, you know, when Pouncey started as a rookie, the big conversation we had with coaches was the communications and making the calls, making the changes up front. You were a guard most of the time in college. How difficult is this going to be? What kind of grasp do you think you'll have on this and kind of a timeline?
I can't really put too much expectations on myself. You know, I'm just
my goal, I want to show up every day and compete and, you know, get as much out of every day as possible, try and maximize my my time in here. So,
you know what, guys, actually only have two. It's one question per person today because we've got to get these guys moving so they can eat lunch. I'm sorry. Chris Adamski, Trim.
Kendrick, how much interaction, if any, have you had with the veteran offensive linemen on the team, and some of them more veteran than others, like the Castros, you know, 10th year, and Dotson, the two guys that would play next to you, was a rookie last year. Have you had any conversation with them and how you might, you know, what kind of personalities those guys have?
Just you know, them reaching out through text or a phone call here and there. Haven't met anyone in person yet, but you know, everybody congratulating me on, you know, the draft and things like that, and welcome me aboard, and I'm excited to work with them.
All right, and last question, Noah Strachey, Sports Illustrated.
Hey, Kendrick, going back to the number, have you talked to Marquise at all, and if so, have you brought up the number?
No, he reached out to me the day after the draft, and just, you know, telling me congratulations, and you know, just get ready to work and play hard and be a Steeler for sure, but no, as far as the number, I haven't, no. Because, I mean, at the time, I didn't know what number I was going to wear. But, yeah, so.
That was Kendrick Green, the Steelers' new center. As you heard there, he wasn't sure the Steelers were going to give him 53, but he asked for it, and they gave it to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's running out of numbers in a way here, too. I mean, which was one of the reasons they made that number switch, that you can do some different things this year. And Steelers had that problem to some degree too. You got to give out some of the greats numbers. Yes,
even though some of them aren't retired, you know, it's
right.
It's still a problem.
I mean, you're not giving out 75, but you're going to be giving some out, you know.
Yeah. We have one last one that we wanted to get to here. This would, of course, be with the Steelers' new punter, and we haven't had a chance to hear from Presley Harvin III yet. We didn't get a chance to talk to him at the draft. So here is the initial Presley Harvin III press conference with the media.
Welcome to Pittsburgh. Ask you first off, have you heard from any of the other specialists on the team so far? You know, the guys you might be catching snaps from or holding kicks for or anything like that?
Biggest one is Christian, the long snapper here. Me and him are in camp together. Pretty good guy. Also talked to Boswell just a little bit. Haven't gotten the opportunity to meet him yet, but, you know, they're genuine guys up here. I'm just ready to get to work.
Let's go to Christopher Carter. Christopher?
Presley, congratulations making it to the NFL. What did it mean to you when you became the first black man to win the Ray Guy Award? You know, and especially with, you know, the history, there haven't been a lot of black punters in the NFL, you know, throughout its history.
Yeah, man, it was a complete honor. You know, it's been a lot of hard work throughout this time to be able to get to that point. You know, high school was definitely a grind, and being able to, you know, the guys go to Georgia Tech. Also, I'll be one of the first African-American punters there, you know, just add to that legacy of, you know, that's find that group. It's not me. It was like you said, I really count on a handful of, you know, it's about all of us. It's just a tight-knit group. And, you know, being the first one to win the right guy, you know, I feel like I'm a trailblazer. You know, I'm going to be able to pave the way for guys that's going to be at me and, you know, kind of make that route easier for them.
Joe Rutter.
Hi, Presley. Were you expecting to get drafted, or did you think maybe you know, since not many punters do get drafted, you might be in the undrafted free agent role?
I knew it was a fair shot coming into it. Me and my agent talked a lot. It was definitely potential 6th to 7th round. And, you know, the draft is always something that, you know, I've always been looking forward to. But if it didn't have to actually happen the way it did, man, I was just going to try to make the most of any opportunity I could have got.
Rich Walsh.
I wanted to ask you about, you know, how many people talk about your size, and is it a huge advantage for you, and how aggressive will you be out there on special teams this year?
Yeah, man. I'm a bigger dude. A lot of people always ask me, you know, when they say, you know, you play football, I always get that question, what do you play? And, you know, I always let people try to guess on themselves of, you know, what position. And it's always the rather a lineman, defensive lineman or fullback or halfback or something like that, man. It's just – when I tell people I'm a punter, you know, they're just kind of astonished the fact that, you know, I said that. But, you know, when you look at me, I don't look like it, but, you know, I put a lot of dedication into, you know, getting myself to the position where I am today. you know, I kind of thrive on it. You know, being unique is a little bit, you know, a lot of people are unique in their own ways. And mine is my size. You know, I bring something else to the table. Got a strong leg. And just being in my frame, I feel completely comfortable with it. And, you know, I'm just ready to ball.
Jeff Hathorn.
Chris, what were your pre-draft conversations like with the Steelers? And when did you know that they were really interested?
Yeah, so Coach Danny Smith, special teams coach here, actually ran my pro day. He's actually a coach that coached at Georgia Tech, too, back in, he won the 1990s championship there. So he had ties at Georgia Tech. And I knew that kind of ahead of time. And when he got there to, you know, talk to me a little bit before pro day, told me he was probably going to be the one running it. You know, it was something that, you know, I know the organization, I know where it comes from and all, and especially him too being a successful coach. It meant a lot to me, especially a guy that already went to Georgia Tech and coached there and, you know, came through the ranks and know this organization and know the NFL like from the front and back of his hand. You know, it meant a lot to me for him to be able to be there after stepping through the way. You know, this process has been tremendous. You know, we're here today because of it, too.
Mark Caboli.
Hey, Presley, I assume when you were younger, you played youth ball, you played high school and other positions. How did you get hooked up with punting and you knew that that was your future?
Yeah, so growing up, I played offensive line when I first started playing Pee Wee football. And then when I got to middle school, we had an open tryout. I was playing center at the time, and you know, no one else wanted to kick. So I just took the initiative of, you know, let me try to help the team out and just see how it goes. You know, I might not do it forever, but, you know, I'll try it out. And, you know, here we are today, many, many years later, because of that one, you know, that one decision that I made one day in practice, just trying not to be selfish. But it's been a journey. I played tight end freshman year of high school a little bit, and then took full responsibility for punting my sophomore year. And that's when I came to the decision of, you know, this is something that I can be really good at.
Jim Wexel.
Presley, I saw one pass of yours. You have to have dominated punt, pass, and kick when you were a kid and have some kind of passing cred. Tell me about your passing history.
Yeah, man. I used to love just throwing the ball when I first started playing football. I knew I couldn't play any position like that when I was growing up. That was a big
deal. Obviously, the games you guys played this year were pretty nimble.
Hey, Jim, can you mute yourself? Thank you.
Yeah. So growing up, I played offensive line and Pee Wee football. So, you know, I never got a chance to throw the ball, but I always liked to. So when I got the opportunity, when I got up in college, you know, I've already made myself full aware of the fact that I can throw, and just kept trying to tell my coaches, you know, whenever you want to make that opportunity, trying to have throwing fakes, you know, I would like to try it. Because usually you would have the up back or someone like that throw the ball. But, you know, I felt comfortable enough to be able to do it. And that throw that I had against Miami back in 2019 was definitely the highlight of it, man. And, you know, it just shows that, you know, I'm versatile. I'm a bigger dude. I got a strong leg. But, you know, whenever a fake needs to happen, you know, I can try to execute it the best I can.
All right, we'll check back on a couple follow-ups. Brian Bacco, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, you know, we've mentioned on this call everything that kind of makes you unique as a punter, Presley. What have been your new teammates' reactions, the other rookies? I mean, do many of them know your story? Or have you been explaining to them kind of the same stuff you've been explaining to us?
Yeah, just a little bit. There's a lot of guys here, but I haven't gotten the opportunity to talk to all of them yet. Just flew in yesterday, and as soon as we got here, we were already booked up with other stuff. But, you know, definitely being able to talk to these guys and kind of pick their brain on, you know, where they come from and their stories and trying to share mine, too. You know, it'll be pretty cool to see.
Joe Rutter, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I do. Just, you know, being the only punter here, you know, what do you hope to get out of these 2 days? You know, there's no other specialist really here. Do you expect to get some good work out of this?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely expect to get some good work up here. Like you said, I'm the only one. So I just got to take advantage of that opportunity to, you know, just highlight my attributes on the field. The biggest things I'm going to try to worry about is, you know, just living the moment, just taking it all in because, you know, just this time last year, we didn't even know if we were going to play football. And just being in the position we are today, you know, just trying to make the most of every opportunity I get.
Mark Caboli, did you have a follow-up?
I do not, Michael. I am sorry.
You're okay. That's all right. All right, we'll wrap it up. Reggie Anderson, if you're on.
Yeah, hey, Presley. Growing up in Sumter, when did you dream of getting to this stage and the values that you learned at Sumter High School from your family taking with them to the Steel City?
Yeah, man, I made the decision of trying to get to the NFL when I was like 14 years old. Went to base middle school at Sumter. And, you know, my mom sent it to me the other day when I was, you know, trying to get ready to come up here. It was just a note that I wrote on my phone at the time. It was just like, you know, I want to have aspirations to get to the NFL. I don't know how that looks, but, you know, I'm not going to stop grinding until I get there. When I do get there, I'm going to just continue to grind. And just being in this organization and being here today, you know, it's just a true testament that hard work really pays off. And it really just comes back to my family, man. They always tell me, you know, one thing we have as a motto as a family, you know, if we're going to do something, we're not going to quit. Even if it's not in our favor, we're still not going to quit. And, you know, I just never quit. They were always behind me, still are to this day, man. And just, you know, it's a true blessing to where I am.
That was Presley Harvin, the Steelers' new punter. Didn't get to see him kick today, but that was first time we've heard him talk.
I'm interested to see it. I wonder if it makes that boom noise off his foot a little different than others, just by the build of him and his, you know, career numbers and whatnot. I like that pick more and more. I was talking about it on the podcast today. I mean, there's a lot of long snappers drafted in the sixth round, kickers, punters. I just think that the league looked at round six and seven like they're not – super valuable.
There wasn't a player that you were going to take in those rounds that was guaranteed to make your roster, unlike a kicker or punter. And those guys aren't guaranteed.
No, but.
But they've got a much better shot than.
They don't have to beat out one guy.
Yeah, we're going to take a shot on the seventh outside linebacker.
Sure.
Or things of that nature.
Or eighth defensive lineman when six only make the team. I mean, right. The numbers are against you right off the bat. So you saw a lot of that, and it all stems from just. Not as many people were eligible for this draft,
yeah.
And the undrafted crew is not as strong. And next year's class should be much better. You can overlook that thing when you're just so focused on one draft because it's all relative. Well, he's better than this guy, and you know. But overall, the end of the draft isn't very strong.
No, it wasn't this year. So that was the move the Steelers made there to go get a punter. And again, you know, if he makes the roster over Jordan Berry, you save $400,000.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Over a 4-year stretch, too.
You're not
going to get a veteran or, you know.
In $400,000, you may say, well, that's not very much. That's a player during the season.
That's a player. Right.
You know, the minimum is like $650 now. You know, a couple weeks into the season, you start.
I can grab this vet for league minimum type of deal or not. Well, now I can.
Now you can.
Every year for 4 years. You know, and whether you pay him after that or not. Who worry about that later. But you don't want to be in the market of, let's go find a punter and have to pay him league minimum, and then we don't like him. And, you know,
yeah,
and
then
the answer's your problem.
Then you start cycling through those punters, and it's, you know, okay, until you find one that you like.
Yeah.
And that's just not good business.
It would really be nice if he does prove himself in the, you know, we won't see him kicking weather and things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they must like him quite a bit.
Led the NCAA in punting last year, so
yeah, right.
There's that. Mm-hmm. But that's going to do it for this segment. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, keeping us on the air and queuing up those interviews for us, I'm Dale Lally. We want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.